Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, bringing in Josh Payne, who's brought to you by DeBaris Barbecue. By the way, have you ordered your turkey yet, your Cajun fried turkey? Because it's the best turkey you'll ever eat. So get to Damaris.com and get that job done. And Bobcat of Houston, that's Del. Del practically lives there now. He goes there every week now and hangs out there. But did you get a skid steer loader yet, Del?
I didn't, but I'm looking at it riding mower.
You're like, how about that? A riding mower. Lazy.
No,
time
smart.
To bring in Josh Pate. Josh Pate of CBS Sports. Josh, we got our first college football playoff rankings. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not sure you're a big fan of this early, if I'm not mistaken, from last year. But I'm intrigued, I know this is not how it's going to end up, but it's basically the SEC Big Ten Invitational, and I don't know how it's going to change much over the next few weeks. Do you?
I guess in the micro sense, you'll have a lot of rearranging of chairs, but in the macro sense, no. I was doing a live hit for CBS last night, and they were asking a version of that question. Clearly not as well articulated as you put it, goes without saying, but they were asking, what's the path for these other conferences? Like, how does the Big 12 get two in? How does the ACC get two in? I don't have any idea how the Big 12 gets two in, but I will say, I think you got to place your eggs in the basket of SMU. I think with how high they put Miami, I think they were number four or somewhere like that, with how high they put Miami, I do think there is a path. If SMU wins out, they go on to play Miami in the conference title game, and SMU wins. I don't know about you, but I don't think they're going to drop Miami all the way out of that thing. So that's one path. But absent that, you got to start looking at Notre Dame and see what they do. But it just feels like seven of the top 16, I think I counted, were SEC. So it feels like an inevitability that what we all knew was going to take place when they built this thing is going to take place. Not the biggest shocker in the world.
Yeah. Josh Pate with us here, brought to you by Bobcat and Damaris Barbecue on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We've been talking about this, and Lance has been a big proponent. Do not punish teams that make their championship games and lose and then get passed up by teams that weren't in the championship. Agree or disagree?
Oh, I completely agree. I've said that from the beginning. I also believe they will actually adhere to that, because that's going to kind of be an unspoken mandate from the conferences, from the league offices, but also from the networks. So their big fear when they instituted this playoff was, we have to make sure the conference title games still mean something. And the only way to do that is to make sure you don't get punished for making it. Now, that sounds good. And I'm sure the SEC and Big Ten runners-up will not be punished. My question, and this is the one I really selfishly want to see play out, is let's just say Brigham Young goes undefeated. They go to the conference title game. They play like a two-loss Iowa State or someone like that, a team that otherwise wouldn't make the playoffs. And they get upset. And they're going into conference championship Saturday undefeated. They're well inside the top 12, but they lose the Big 12 conference title game. Now, are we going to put the same policy in place for the Big 12 runner-up? Because that's one that I will have to see to believe. I got no doubt if Georgia loses to Texas or Ohio State loses to Oregon, I don't think they'll be punished. I think they, well, let me, I suspect they would punish Brigham Young. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'd be happy to be wrong, but I'm going to have to see that one play out.
Mm-hmm. I think this, Josh Pate joins us right now. I want you to take a victory lap. People need to listen to Josh Pate. He actually watches games. He's analytical in nature. He pays attention to strengths and weaknesses. You try to tell everyone, oh, slow down on this. A&M's got this pathway. This looks like it's going to be hard for them to lose a game all the way out. And you said, I think they lose to South Carolina because they can't handle the rush. And you know what? When A&M had Marcel Reed starting and South Carolina was prepared for it and you stepped into a Hornets Nest atmosphere on a Saturday night in the SEC, I thought it was almost kind of predictable, really, and I thought you were dead on with your analysis as well.
Yeah, that one was tough, but it was not the hardest thing in the world to see coming. My response last week, you remember we were talking last week, and I had gone on and on and on all week about how high I was on Mike Elko, how much I love the future of A&M, and I meant every word I said. I still mean every word of that, but I tried to make sure to say last week on every show I did, and my own included, when I said that, I said, I feel this way whether they lose by 30 this coming Saturday, because I thought they'd lose. I thought they'd lose fairly handedly, and they did. It does not change my opinion one iota, as Meemaw would say, about what the future is of Texas A&M under Mike Elko. It is sky high. It'll be one of the best programs in the country. He is one of the most qualified head coaches for that position that they ever could have hired, maybe the most. So, but having said that, they're just another flawed team. This is the year to be a flawed team if you're going to be that, because I'm looking at that ranking that was released last night. You got Bama in that mix. LSU's there. A&M's there. Ole Miss is there. It's just a laundry list of teams with very obvious flaws. And I think most of the time we've become conditioned in the previous world of college football. We've become conditioned to, if you have a really noticeable flaw by November, we mark a line through your name because we couldn't see you winning a national title, because there are usually some really high-level elite teams filtered out by that point. We don't have that this year. We got some that look better than others. We don't have elite teams right now. Oregon may be the closest to it that I've seen, but I watched them struggle with both teams from Idaho earlier this year. So I just think we need to pump the brakes holistically on A&M or LSU, the Alabama loser, or Ole Miss. Any of these teams that, if this were 2019, you'd write off, you can't write these teams off yet. There are still some flawed teams that, if they get hot at the right time, could go on a run and really surprise you.
Yeah, let's not bury A&M yet. They beat Texas and they're in, and then it'll be interesting to see what happens with Texas. Looking at the possible playoff right now, boy, it's almost best to be the 5 seed. You got the group of 6 in the first round, and then you've got the Big 12 winner in the second round, because it's for sure going to be the 4th seed. And then you got a great path to the semifinals, as opposed to the 3 seed, who's going to get a possible Texas or Alabama opponent in the quarterfinals. So I think it's going to be much better to be the 5 seed than it would be the 3 seed right now.
You're going to get a lot of argument on this, but not from me. I've gone at it already with a lot of the data and analytics crowd on this. And the worst part about that crowd is they're really condescending when they talk. It's like a calculator yelling at you. And what they'll tell you is, you're just an idiot for even thinking this, because they'll start breaking it down and they'll say, you always want to play one game that you have a 50-50 shot of winning over two games that you have an 85% shot of winning, and also you're adding in the risk of injury when you play another game. Like, you're an idiot and you don't get that. It's the condescension that bothers me. I get it. I also understand how this sport works. I agree with you. It's one of the big holes in this entire format. It was always going to be that way. Anytime you pretend that all conference champions are created equal, and you create this auto-bid structure, but you also fix the seeding, you're setting yourself up for a situation where the 5 seed is sitting there licking their chops and saying, you're telling me I'm playing a G5 team in the first round, I'm playing the lowest-ranked conference champ in round 2 that otherwise wouldn't have been a top 4 seed, but you artificially bumped them up there because you believe conference champions are the end-all, be-all. So I'm going to play, let's see, I'm going to play like Boise or UNLV round one. Then I'm going to play Iowa State round two. And while those aren't pushovers, you look at what the one seed, forget the three seed. Dude, the one seed is going to play the 8-9 winner. Any given year, that's going to be a red-hot SEC or Big Ten team that just beat the other. And so, like, the one seed is going to draw Alabama or someone like that in the second round. Meanwhile, you're sitting there cruising as a two-touchdown favorite in round one or round two, and you're winning comfortably. And meanwhile, the data and analytics crowds out there saying, no, I'd rather be facing Georgia. I'd rather face one Georgia than two Boise's and Iowa State's. And it's like you either speak calculator or you speak football. And ideally, yeah, you speak both.
You can't
exclusively speak one or the other.
You can't try to hammer in your narrative and try to be disingenuous. And that was always my point is, I think a lot of people who are going to champion the 12-team playoff thing, and their argument was, well, now all the conference, now every conference champion, you know, gets an automatic bid and this, that, and the other. What you've done now is you have artificially made this thing weaker, and you've created some real slaughterhouse matchups potentially. I mean, we'll see what happens, and it's great for those schools. It's not a representation of the 12 best teams of football, but, you know, you can't, but don't complain about it. Like, if you wanted everyone to have this representation and a seat at the table across the board, then don't complain when good teams are left out.
There's only one bad game in the first round. I mean, right now, Indiana would play Tennessee. That's interesting. Alabama, Texas, very
right
Notre
now.
Dame,
yeah.
Penn State.
Let's see how.
These are all interesting
let's see how
games.
It plays out.
You're going to have one. Of course, you're going to have a byproduct of one. Yeah, the group of six school is probably going to have a really rough time. Yes, but the other matchups are going to be excellent.
Should be. I think what Josh is talking about though is the way that the pathway to
obviously
the game is going to be not great.
Obviously.
Potentially.
Ohio State is actually the second best team in the country, and they're the five seed right now. So that there's flaws.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia, Texas right away in a rematch. I mean, it's fun for a football standpoint. I don't think it's great in terms of taking the best teams and playing them early in that scenario. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's never going to be perfect. I mean, it's not
–
you're going to have your bumps along the way.
Okay, Josh, what about this week? What do you like? What's going on? What is some pitfalls that you might see out there for some big teams?
I think Georgia could be in trouble. And this is going to catch some people by surprise, but it probably shouldn't. They just steamrolled Ole Miss last year. I think it was 52-17 or something like that. These are much different-looking teams. Just forget about that. It matters none when we go into this matchup. The thing about Ole Miss is if you've looked at Georgia's struggles, if you've looked at Carson Beck's struggles, you may think to yourself, shame on his offensive line. They hadn't given him time. They haven't given him protection. Georgia's offensive line is top 10 in the country in pressure rate allowed. Carson Beck's just been bad because Carson Beck's been bad. And I'm not absolving the rest of his team, but he has been woeful in underachievement this year. And that's before he's faced high-pressure defenses. Ole Miss can get after the quarterback as well. So I'm interested to watch that. But on the flip side, Ole Miss is one of the top explosive play rate teams in the country offensively. Georgia's one of the best defensively at stopping that. I just think the way Jackson Dart matches up with that defense presents a lot of issues. I think the wrong team's favored in that game. I slightly lean Ole Miss to win it outright. And then the Bama-LSU game. Guys, if you could sell me that either one of those teams is prepared to run the ball consistently, I would happily take them. I have no clue whether either of them will be able to do it. I should be able to lean on Jalen Milroe's explosivity through the air and his legs, but that sort of disappeared as of late. Now, maybe he got healthy in the bye week. I just can't shake this image a few weeks ago of Bama being just discombobulated, playing on the road at Neyland. Maybe they learned from that experience. I'm going to have to see it to believe it, though. I very slightly lean LSU in that one. I don't have a strong feel on it, but how about that thing being painted as an elimination game, despite the fact that half the top 16 is made of SEC teams right now?
Well, I don't think LSU uses Caden Durham nearly enough. I mean, dude is really, really good.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I was talking to Kublik about this the other day, because anytime I see a team not able to run the ball, I want to go to people who played that position, and I want to say, hey, what's the deal here? And he said something, and I agree with it. I'm glad, because it kind of validated what my preconceived notion was, and that is You got some teams out there that just can't run the ball. Then you got other ones out there that make you scratch your head that they haven't committed to trying to run the ball more. Mm-hmm. Like, this offensive line personnel should be able to allow you to emphasize the ground game. And they went to Arkansas and did an okay job of it, but absent that, they just haven't even committed to it. And then everyone wants to blame Nussmeier for throwing picks, and I'm like, he's dropping back 50 times a game. What do you expect?
Yeah, and their offensive line. I mean, LSU's offensive line hasn't been great. And yeah, Nussmeier's a guy who can really be effective, but there is diminishing return for a player who still takes too many chances. He doesn't have a lot of game experience under his belt. We got to remember that. So he'll still take some chances. He'll still, you know, do some gunslinger stuff. The law of diminishing returns eventually kicks in with a lot of quarterbacks the more you ask of them. And I think the same issue is going on right now. Like, you look at the Indianapolis Colts, it's a separate conversation, but they don't have an identity on offense. Teams who don't try to run the football will eventually, unless you're really great throwing the football on college or pro levels, eventually you run into a game where the passing game's not working or the protection's not working and you have nothing to fall back on.
Yeah, I wonder... At the same token, kind of dovetailing off that, I wonder about Georgia. Georgia, I used to be able to depend on them to take a solid ground game on the road. They are in the 90s, I think, in rushing offense this year, and Ole Miss is really good at stopping it. My concern, if they don't at least lean on it and commit to it a little bit, is Ole Miss just realizes we can stop it with four. And if they do that, and you've got a turnover-prone quarterback in Carson Beck, that's how that game could go sideways as well. So I don't need these teams to be 6.0 yards per carry or anything like that. I just need them to lean on it enough where the defense has to honor it. The defense at least buys the illusion of balance and play calling.
Josh Pate, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue and by Bobcat of Houston. Get your turkey at Damaris and get your skid steer loader or your riding lawnmower over there. Where are you going this week, Josh?
I'm going to head down to Baton Rouge, and I am taking every bit of weather instrumentation I can to keep us dry down there. We all know it doesn't rain in Tiger Stadium, but
it never
could rain everywhere around it. So I'm working on that right now. When I know a better forecast, you guys will know a better forecast.
Chance of rain? Never. That's what they say.
Why is that? Is that really chance a thing of, they do?
No.
I didn't realize that.
While it's pouring on you in the pregame, the guy goes, chance of rain at Tiger Stadium? Never.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah. And is the forecast rain, Josh?
Look, I'm looking what will become Hurricane Raphael, and I've got my best people on it, all right? And I've got good contacts at the National Hurricane Center. I'm working on getting that thing to dissipate. I think it will before it hits the Northern Gulf, so it won't be terrible. We're just keeping an eye on maybe some passing showers.
You are a brave man. You don't care. You want to talk about a commitment to college football. He's walking into a hurricane. I don't care. That's the best game, and I'm going there. And they'll play it up until the wind will knock the players down, quite frankly.
Which is the way it should be. Look, that's the way the pilgrims did it. That's the way we should do it.
That's the way that the sweet baby Jesus intended college football to be played in the SEC.
You damn right it is. So you got Ole Miss, and you got a slight lean toward LSU.
Ole Miss plus 2.5 or the money line. I already looked at it. Money line's like plus 120. Ole Miss was good last week. Woo, Ole Miss was good.
Yeah. Ole Miss did not look good earlier in the year, though, Josh.
Well, listen, Carson Beck's got another 2 to 3 interceptions up his sleeve, so just give it some time.
Yeah. Well, got a little pressure on him, apparently. Got a little pressure on him. He's getting CJ'd this year. That is Josh Pate right here every week with the most informative college football segment in the country. Josh, man, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us once again.
I appreciate it, guys.
There's Josh, brought to you by Damaris and Bobcat of Houston. Damaris Barbecue, Bobcat of Houston.
I always want to keep Josh on a long time. Dell's always, he might get his feelings hurt if we keep him on talking great college football for too long.
Or we keep the man on for 20 minutes, then the entire rest of the show is not having real segments.
Oh, well.
Well,
but Josh is good.
There.
No one wants to call in today. No one wants to talk about anything.
Hold on a second. Like, we have real segments anyway.
Just go to break.
We don't actually have real segments. What's wrong with
And then, what I'm trying to do is avoid my show starting at 10:08.
No, you like that, you said.
No, you always do. You should have never said that, John, because now John will do News of the Weird like 10:06.
It's fine with me.
I'm leaving at 58 from now
on. Wrap it up.
Okay, 9:42. I'm out.
Fine with me. Just wrap up your crap. That's all I'm asking for.
Wrap the crap is what Dell's saying.
All right, time to talk about Damaris Barbecue. That ain't the crap there. What that is that's an excellent turkey. Go to Damaris.com and get that turkey on. I'm telling you, here and now, it is the best thing that you'll do this Thanksgiving. Your turkey's dry. No one likes a baked turkey. That's Notre Dame. Nobody likes that. Well, of course, you could get the baked turkey from Damaris, but theirs is going to be moist. Here's the deal. That fried Cajun turkey is the best turkey you'll ever have. So get to Damaris.com and order your turkey now because he's going to run out of them. But if you're at the front of the list or in the middle of the list right now, then you're going to get yours, okay? But if you're too late, you're too late. And then they're gone. There's nothing you can do about it. So hurry to Damaris.com and pick up your turkey on Wednesday, and let's go. Let's get that turkey on the table. But not only that, either of the two locations that you want to go to and get your – I love the wings. I'm telling you, you go to the bar with Perry or Janine there, and you're going to get those wings, those Greek wings. I'm telling you, they're some of the best wings in the city. Or the barbecue queso, awesome. And watch your games and get your appetizer on at Damaris Barbecue. It's fantastic. And I'm telling you, you're looking for a great place to go and get your food bag on. Damaris.com, Damaris.com, two locations. One is at 18th Street and 610, and the other is at Shepherd, right around Alabama. You're looking for the best way to get that barbecue, Damaris.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Get in here in a hurry. What did you think of what Josh Pate had to say? Aggies are our second team out right now. They got to beat Texas to get in. But that's not a.
Got to beat Auburn, too. I just, you can't just, because you're a favorite, I heard they were going to beat South Carolina, too.
Yeah,
you got to win these games on the road in the SEC. It's not easy.
Something on that.
It's not going to be easy. I'm just saying, you don't just.
Put a little something.
That's fine. You should have done it for South Carolina last week. You felt that confident. If you were feeling that frisky.
I'm not confident on that, but I'm confident about Auburn.
Auburn's not good, but guess what? Road teams are hard to beat in the SEC. It's hard to win on the road, especially at night. Daytime, not as hard. And who knows? Now, Auburn may have opened up a can of quit by then. We'll see. When do they have Auburn next? After this week.
They got New Mexico State.
They got Chip Shot, and then they got Auburn, and then they got Texas. Yeah. I got to decide if I'm going to go to that. I don't like dealing with the parking at Aggieland, but I may want to get to that game and just kind of be part of that energy, see if I can get a press. I should be able to get a press pass. I'm not messing with paying for tickets. My God. Forget that. No
Yuck.
Thanks. I avoided having to get a ticket for my daughter for Taylor Swift. I ain't getting one for Texas and Texas A&M.
That's a $3,000 ticket right now.
No.
Yeah.
Can't be.
Yeah.
Not just to get in the stadium.
No.
Like
the good seats. The good seats.
Yeah, the good seats. I can see that. Yeah. I guarantee you're right about that.
Well, that was a few weeks ago before they lost to South Carolina. Can you imagine if they didn't lose to South Carolina?
Okay.
And they were in the – wow.
Well, I don't think it's really going to matter when it's all said and done. It's not
right.
Like everyone's going based on – this is the first time Texas and Texas A&M have played since, what was it, 11, 10?
And if A&M wins, they're in. So,
would you sell the tickets if you had four tickets?
Yes.
And they were 3,000. If you could get 12,000 minus your fees that you end up paying, let's say it's 20% fees, and you need 12,000. You take off 2,400, so you make a little under $10,000. You made 9,600. Would you sell yours?
Yes.
You would not be there now. Okay, so would you do the same thing if LSU was playing Alabama for the first time in 11 years? Let me bring it home because yeah. Wendy's there because you don't have a direct tie to Texas.
Oh,
Texas
well,
A&M.
She wouldn't let me, but I would.
No, yeah. Then if she wouldn't let you, then you can't. You would, you would in theory, but she wouldn't let you, so you can't.
Right, because she
the boss of you. Right.
If I sell A&M tickets, she don't care.
Well, that's why I got to say, like, if my if we had four tickets to Texas and Texas A&M and they hadn't played and it's 3,000, and I told my wife, she's like, she would say, I don't care. We're not selling these. And you know what I would say? Yeah, but we don't have to deal with parking. We don't have to leave the game early to get to the car, which she doesn't do. She likes to stay until the Eyes of Texas are being played. I'm like, every second at this Eyes of Texas is costing us another 15 minutes of getting out of a parking garage. What are we doing?
What are we
doing? Yeah. Oh, did I leave a Super Bowl early? Yeah. Was it the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history? Okay, I missed history, but I still got to keep up with it on the game tracker on my phone when I was in the bus headed back to the downtown hotel where the cars were parked. So it's kind of like I was part of history. But I was in the same city, and I had a press pass, and I was able to see what was happening on my game tracker. I wasn't even able to watch the actual game on my phone, which wasn't ideal. I didn't get to see the game. I couldn't even watch the game back then. There wasn't a streaming service where I could watch it. That sucked.
That's the worst decision.
And I am to this day, I don't actually like bringing it up. My wife will bring it up. You're the one who left it. Guess what he did? She'll tell people we've just met. Guess what he did? Left the Super Bowl whenever the
28-3
whenever the one where the Patriots came back and won and beat the Falcons. He was actually there and left the Super Bowl. I'm like, yeah, you ain't got to tell everybody that.
Yeah,
that business stays between my radio listeners and me and you. That's it. Just tell new people we meet. Hey, I'm Nicole. This is my husband Lance. He left the Super Bowl with Tom Brady, came back and beat Matt Ryan whenever Kyle Shanahan couldn't call plays right in the second half. Hey, watch it. That's true about Shanahan, but watch what you're saying about me.
Yeah. Well, she might be right. You should have waited till the Eyes of Texas were played.
I'm the same guy that would sell the tickets to these games, too, just like you would.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you don't give me that much. I'm paying for my season tickets. Come on now.
No. What are you, crazy? That's it. Of course, that's why we're two percenters, though.
Okay. Yeah, that's what A&M would call us, two percenters. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? I got 2%. I got 12 grand. That's my 2%.
Okay? That's right. Yeah. Well, minus, and I would tell on you so that you had to pay taxes on that too.
Oh, yeah.
I'd definitely tell on you.
Did you see Texas and Texas A&M both opened up their college basketball schedules with losses?
No, I was busy looking at election stuff yesterday.
Yeah, that's crazy. Texas lost to Ohio State, and Central Florida beat Texas A&M.
Okay, so I had someone call me yesterday, and he's listening. He'll know who he is. I'm not going to say his name. How long is Kelvin Sampson's contract with Houston?
As long as he wants. As long as he wants to stay.
Can he get out whenever he wants?
If he retires.
Well, the reason I'm asking is what if Texas decided to make an unbelievable offer to Kelvin Sampson? And say, we're going to give you $9 million a year. We're going to give you what Arkansas paid Cal, which is $9 million a year. Now, my thing is he'd never coach at Texas. I think that when he's done at Houston, he's done. Personally, I believe he doesn't have anyone who messes with him. I heard that Pesman couldn't even tell him anything. Like he's got it just the way that coaches love it. No one can mess with him.
Yeah.
Tell him what to do. I think that's more important than anything right now. And then he's going to smooth water it right over to his son, Kellen, and he'll be the head coach. And I think when he's done coaching, he's done coaching. I don't think he would go anywhere else.
No, because he set up his kids, not only Kellen, but his daughter as well. He set them up.
Oh, yeah. She's in the front office.
Yeah. Nice long time.
Well, that's why I think he would stay. Not that he has such a willingness to hang on.
Well, if Kellen's going to stay, I don't think they're going
to
kick him out.
He wouldn't go to Texas because then the Cougs have no obligation to give it to Kellen.
Well, they'd be pretty pissed. Yeah, and what would happen if some of his guys left Houston would screw Kellen?
Yeah,
screw his
that's outside. Why if the succession plan is in place, that's why I don't think he would go.
No, that's right. Because bolt, and then Kellen, his own son, would get screwed.
Other than the money and the PJ, he's got a better
PJ
program.
Is private jet, guys. He said PJ.
P.
Right.
PJ. Other than the private jet and the money that he would receive, he's got a better program than Texas does. That's not even arguable.
Yes. Yes, yeah. But the but But for coaches, it's always about money, and it's always about not just money you make. It's about access money, access to the program, what you can do with your program. And it's hard. Texas is at the top of the food chain.
And Rodney Terry's not stumping with local media for a PJ right now.
No, no.
He's not using the local media to ask for a PJ.
No. No, he's not. No, but even still, without those things, he's got a better program.
Yeah, but sometimes you just want it to be easier.
Yeah.
Possibly.
But you know what?
But may not
life isn't easy.
He may not want to deal with what you have to deal with in Austin, too.
Well, no. I don't think.
Maybe the head coach there.
I think first and foremost, he would say, all right, I'm not screwing my own son. And secondly, I ain't going to Austin where I've got to go talk to this person, and I got to glad hand and pretend like I want to be in a room with a bunch of people I don't want to talk to.
Well, listen, I have a little insight into that program from the last 5 years or so.
Yeah.
Kelvin Sampson doesn't put up with anything that he doesn't want to do. Kelvin Sampson he's the boss. He's the boss in that building. Tillman would never, tell Sampson, tell Kelvin, hey, you need to do this or blah, 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 or whatever. I mean, Kelvin's a boss. And, in a lot of places you don't have that. And Kelvin has that here. And Kelvin's got a succession plan for his kids. So, yeah.
As perfect as it could be. It really is. You don't have people messing with you. And, John, that's kind of like you at when you came over to 1560 now, especially at 97.5. No one can mess with you.
Mm-hmm.
No one tells you what to do, and which is kind of the dream. If I'm being honest, it's kind of the dream. And
who tells you what to do?
That's what I'm saying. No, I'm here,
Todd
too.
Todd tells me what to do
I'm
all
here
the
too.
Time.
Does I'm he? Here, too.
Yeah.
And do
yeah,
you listen?
Todd, but, yeah, that's the actual
yes,
question.
I listen.
You don't listen. I know everyone likes setting up the kid. I mean, I just hope the Kellen succession plan didn't go the way Mark Few's succession plan did for his kid. He put his kid in the game against Baylor.
Oh, my God.
While they're kicking Baylor's ass. And his kid got dunked on so hard.
Oh, my God. And it was he posterized with
Joe
right in his face.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did you see he got up, though? He was laughing when he got up.
Here's the headline from the article. Mark Few sends his son to slaughter. Gonzaga blew out Baylor, but Mark Few's son gets viciously dunked on. A beautiful father-son moment. Mark Few puts his son in to help Gonzaga and blah, blah, but Mark Few's son gets brutally dunked on. Mark Few's walk-on son got caught in a vicious poster dunk.
Yeah. Mark Few.
It says he was baptized in front of America.
That's like Gundy, his son, when he put him in there.
He started him,
He started him, and that didn't work out. He had to go to a D2 school.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Gundy has apologized for his comments the other day.
Sorry for calling all of you guys people who can't take care of your families just because.
What did he say?
He just apologized because.
Oh, I didn't mean to.
Hey, guys.
I didn't mean to call y'all poors.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to suggest just because you criticize my program that you are dead.
Oh, my God. I just saw the video. That's on him for jumping. He jumped up in the air all of 7 inches off the ground. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Child Protective Services has got to step in.
He got up laughing. He did. Yeah, he knew.
What else are you going to do?
He was
I'd laugh, too, if someone just put in my face D's. On a basketball court. Yeah. What else are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Cry?
My dad's still the coach. Shoots a rods at everybody.
All right. I'm going to tell you this. Hoag Landscape Services, I'm going to tell you this. Your backyard's going to look rich, okay? You're not going to look like one of the poors. I'm going to guarantee you that. I'm going to guarantee you that you're going to look better. And even if you just got a small patio, there's on the website, when you go and you see, you're like, wow, that is a nice-looking little patio that these – it doesn't have to be acres and acres of land. You could have a small patio, and Hoag Landscape is going to come in and make it look fantastic, like $1 million. I'm telling you, you don't have to spend $1 million. Now, people – I mean, he's had really, really big jobs, okay? He has had really big jobs. But you know what? I mean, he does the best job in the city. I'm not even arguing. I always use superlatives with my people, but and rightfully so, because my people I believe in, the people that I speak for, when you see what Hoag Landscape Services are doing for people, you want a basketball court or a pickleball court or a bocce ball court or a swimming pool or a fire pit or an outdoor kitchen or a lounge, a TV area, I'm telling you, it's fantastic. When you see the workmanship, when you see everything that goes into it, they're fantastic. Okay? It's more than just cutting your grass. A landscape service, this is an exterior designer. HoagLS.com. HoagLS.com. You want to make your backyard something special? HoagLS.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Just one more segment here before we hit News of the Weird. Dell, have we missed anything today?
We've done CFP. We've talked about Dana Brown and his comments on the Astros. You know who we haven't talked about in a long, talked to in a long time? Gilbert. Gilbert
here?
On the line.
Yeah. Let's get a little, let's just see what's going on.
Our first call of the day. Hi, Gilbert.
Hello?
Yeah.
How are you doing today, gentlemen?
We're good, gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm hungry.
You're hungry?
Yeah, I need a steak dinner from Chili.
John, it's your turn.
I laughed on yesterday, you know.
Wait, no. Why are you saying it's... John, it's your turn. You're in this too, Del.
No. He doesn't want to visit me. He doesn't want me visiting him.
I briefly mentioned you in a speech, I think, on Saturday. So you're in.
What did you say?
I said, and Del, who's next up for Gilbert's steak dinner from Chili's.
Wow, that's a random aside during the middle of your Hall of Fame
speech.
That's
what people didn't seem to know what I was talking about. But
I think Gilbert's not looking for me. He's looking for one of you guys. Or one of your nice women co-workers.
No.
You're going to send Abigail out to get Gilbert's
steak?
No,
one of your coworkers at NFL Network.
No, Gilbert already. Gilbert, do you remember when we did the FaceTime and you got to talk to Colleen Wolf?
She didn't bring him food, though.
No, but she said she would.
That was great. That was super.
Yeah, super. That's right. That was really nice. She's a nice lady, isn't she?
Yeah, she's real nice anyway.
So he wants a steak dinner from Chili's.
We already know that.
Yeah, someone called me to stop by my. And they're going to give me a steak and a french fry and a corn on the cob.
Corn on
the
cob.
And what else?
It's something to come by here anyway.
And Dr. Pepper.
Just park over here.
What'd you say? Just park right over
there?
Yeah, so if you are next up here in line for the Chili's, let me know. Just reach out directly, and I can put you in contact with Fairview. Is that the name of not Fairview.
Sharpsview?
Sharpview, right? Sharpview. Gilbert, is it Sharpview where you're staying?
What'd you say?
Is it called Sharpview?
Yeah.
Well, there again?
Where you're staying, the assisted living home, is it called Sharpview?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you want information and you want to step up this time, they're actually, I don't want to say it out loud, but there's this guy who runs multiple Chili's who said he'd love to help out. So I can reach out to him, my direct messages. And if you, he's buying. So are you flying? That's a question I've got for some of the listeners. Roll over. Gilbert, would it be okay if one of our listeners brought you something, or does it have to be a certain person?
Yeah. He was a little China Garden. I don't see him no more anyway.
You don't see China Garden
anymore? No, he probably doesn't see John, who brought him China Garden. Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
The guy John brought you China Garden, but you don't see him anymore. Well, he's celebrating the election, so I don't know if he – maybe a celebratory mood, he would buy you six more egg rolls, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so anyway, so.
Yeah. All right, you're
hungry. Congratulations, gentlemen. Okay, about your award over the weekend.
Oh, well, thank you, Gilbert.
Thanks, Gilbert.
We appreciate that. Gilbert, did you vote for Donald Trump?
He didn't vote.
No, I voted for Harris.
Oh, you did vote?
You did? You voted for Harris?
Yeah.
Yeah, why'd you vote for her instead of Trump?
Yes. He's a good friend of mine. He's a friend of my neighbor a long time ago, you know. Way back, you know.
Who, Harris?
Yeah.
Wait. Well, you mean in California? Wait, where did this happen, Gilbert? I'm very curious about this now.
My father used to own a grocery store a long time. She came by and bought some stuff anyway.
So Kamala Harris, Kamala Harris came by a grocery store to buy some stuff. Where did this take place?
My father's grocery store a long time ago.
Your father's grocery store, and where?
Kamala Harris stopped.
Hold on. I want to ask, where did this happen? Where was your father's grocery store?
North Loop and 610 over there.
So Kamala Harris came in to North Loop, and now hold on. How long is your has your dad passed away?
Yeah.
Yeah, he passed away 10 years ago.
10 years ago. So at some point within the last 15 years ago, Kamala Harris went into a convenience store, I assume, and bought something from your dad.
Yeah.
And he knew who she was in 2010, 2011?
14.
2014.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Was she must have been the district attorney of California.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how did you know? Wait a minute.
All right, gentlemen.
I'm not sure this is true.
Hey, listen, gentlemen. Somebody in the listening area, try to buy me some food right now. I hate this food here in Nevada.
All right.
That's so true. Gilbert, I saw the food. He is not lying. Yeah, that food
right.
sucks.
He is
there.
Right. I saw the food.
Their
too.
Food sucks.
It's gross.
Yeah. So if you want to help Gilbert out, do that. I got to go somewhere right at 10:30, but I'll dig around on my guy from Chile, see if we can't try to get something going for you this week. G Money.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. He's
hungry. Yeah. One more day, Jeff.
Yep.
One more day. I got sad news to tell you. Anyway.
What is it?
I think Texas
going to
lose Sunday night.
Oh, God. Knew it.
Gilbert,
I knew he was going to drop these bombs.
Why, Gilbert? Why?
Dropping bombs on your moms.
Damn.
Yeah, I saw the replay of the game there.
Damn it, Gilbert.
I don't think you can play there. I let D'Amico Ryan get the defense going anyway, you know.
Yeah. Mm.
Gilbert, if you get your steak before Sunday, will the Texans win?
I don't know that's dependent.
I love to see Texans win, but I don't need to go win.
Even with or without
Sunday,
the
steak?
What if someone gets you a steak dinner before? Do you think the Texans will win? Will that change your mind?
If you get a steak dinner.
No, I don't think he's threatening.
Yeah, give me dinner. Hey, if someone bring me a steak dinner at Chili's, they'll win Sunday, okay?
Okay, he actually said it very clearly. He said it very clearly. Now it's not just a steak dinner, right? It also Chili's. Needs to have it's Chili's, but I mean the king, also known as the king of steaks.
Yes, when I think of king of steaks, I think.
But
of Chili's,
also
yes.
Corn and a cob with salt and pepper, and also French fries.
Correct.
And do they have to have a Dr. Pepper? And a
Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's good. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, good
all right,
Gilbert.
Bye. Some Texan fan who really wants to see your team win and get back on track, you know what you have to do. But I will point out that we tried to pull this last time, and the Astros didn't win when he said this.
Oh, because he had already told – because he's already said he's not – he already told us we're not going to win.
Yes.
He already said that.
So before you run out there and go get him a Chili's steak dinner, realize it didn't work the last time.
Well, that's not – he didn't promise if he gets a steak dinner, they win.
He did. He just did.
No, but he did promise if I don't get him, they're losing. Remember, he did say – but he didn't lead with that, Del. So, Del's probably right.
Yeah,
this may not get
him. He already decided the Texans are losing.
I know he's done, but he did this before with the Astros.
This is a trap.
That's why I tried to see if he would do it again. He said the Astros are going to get swept, and then he was like, but if anyone gives me my dinner or my hat, anyone gets me the hat, the Astros would win.
Yep.
It didn't matter, though.
Yep. Yeah, he did try to tell you, Yeah, when he tried to go back on it. But whatever he says first is what the Oracle...
the initial action by Gilbert is the one that lands. So forget about it. Maybe you just want to feed him, but the Lions are going to beat the Texans because Gilbert just told you so.
That's tough action. Let's get a break so we can do, because right at 58, I'm leaving. Don't try to do one of your things where you run the news of the weird like 10:07.
I run it to 10:07?
No, John. I'm telling John.
Listen, news of the weird is going to go till 9:51 now because of
Well, it's already 9:52, so good luck with that.
Well, you should talk about Daspit then.
Good. I'll tell you about the Daspit law firm. I asked John yesterday. I said, hey, I was talking to him and said, hey, is the Astroworld case, I know you got a lot of you have a lot of different respondents who you're taking care of for the Astroworld case. He said, no, in this case, he explained to me what's going on, so it's going to take more time. It just gives John and his crew as much time as they need to make sure that all the medical bills and everything that needs to be considered for these lawsuits are going to be done. He will give them more time to negotiate the settlements as well for you. See, when you have a personal injury lawyer like John Daspit, who is as experienced but also as successful as John, he understands what these cases are going to entail. And so he knows how hard to push, and he knows what you have coming. Sometimes people have been beaten up badly with these accidents. And what happens is John Daspit's able to step forward for you and really help you to recover financially and to get back on the road to health as well. And for some people who have experienced loss of life in their family, it's devastating. And there's really no number that you can put on it. But you do want to make sure that if you lose that breadwinner, that your family is going to be, you know, the consideration for family is taken care of. It's tough conversations at times that you have to have, but John Daspit will have him. He'll fight for you. He passionately pursues justice for the injured. And I'd rather have no one else on my side fighting for me than John Daspit. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW or go to DaspitLaw.com.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
Apparently, Google Trends came out yesterday and said, wow, search interest for did Joe Biden drop out was spiking yesterday on Election Day. Do you think that many Americans didn't even know that Joe Biden dropped out of the election?
That's hard to believe, but maybe so. There are some people, I guess, who don't have televisions or phones or don't really. Maybe they're too busy farming the land and trying to. I don't have time for whatever these shenanigans are.
You're almost dead if you didn't know that Joe Biden wasn't in this election.
It's not easy.
You have to be almost dead.
Yeah, it's not easy.
I don't think you can work a computer, so I don't know. I don't know how that trended yesterday. Maybe they were asking, did he drop out or was he kicked out? Was there a coup? Maybe that had to be it. That had to be it. An ambulance hit an Oregon cyclist. The ambulance was turning right and ran into a cyclist. Picked him up, put him in the ambulance, rushed him to the hospital.
That's service. That's service right there.
And then charged him $1,800.
Oh, now that's the part that, yeah. I was going to say, man, what great service that is.
Yeah.
They'll hit you, but they also put you in. But then you say, where's my money? And then you start choking the guy at the phone line while his wig's coming off.
Well, no. Yeah, well, you say that to the ambulance driver. Well, yeah, the ambulance driver tries to kill you for the money. Yeah. $1,800. Well, he's suing him back for $997,000.
So. You know what he's saying? Now, if you're smart, you'll settle for $100,000 my way so we can cut off.
I'll give you your $1,800.
Good for him.
You're going to have to give me $997,000.
Yeah, good for him.
Apparently, in Japan, they're finding that the number of high school boys in Japan who have had their first kiss is falling to record lows. Apparently, you're getting into high schools now with boys who haven't had their first kiss.
When was your first kiss?
Fifth grade, Laura Bingenheimer. I told you that.
Yeah, mine third grade, Ann Vosick. My daughter's horrified.
Yeah, but I don't know if that counts.
Well,
in third grade.
Why not? It was on the mouth. I was mouth kissing, fool.
You were. Yeah. Well, I tried to kiss Miss Rusey. She was smoking.
I got a kiss from Miss Ogilvy, my kindergarten teacher, on the on the cheek when I before I said I wouldn't go home after nap time. She let me sleep. There are another kids there, and I said, "Can I have a kiss on the cheek, or I don't want to go home?" Bang!
Oh yeah. Well, when I was in second grade, Miss Johnson kissed me on the forehead.
Hey,
what?
I thought you were going to tell an ugly story.
No.
I don't know if I want to hear this. Oh yeah. Well, when I was school, when I was a sophomore in high school, I was traveling abroad, and there was this blonde woman who still told me to sit down in front of her. I'm like, hey, what's the show we're watching right now?
That's a plot from a show.
Yeah, what's our show that we're watching?
But if I follow that plot line, I wouldn't be around to tell that
story.
And
then I drowned.
Yeah, and then I died.
What's that show called? People really need
Disclaimer.
To watch. Disclaimer. You on really Apple need to TV. Watch at least episodes 3 and 4.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Oh, John, download it. But don't watch it on the airplane.
I'm going straight to 3 and 4. I don't want to bother with the prelims.
Go there. You're fine.
Yeah, no. I'll be done. Let's see. We're done because you know what? We got to get Dell. We got to get his little show on the air, okay? So that's it. Well, that's all you get because Dell, he's crying like a little wee.
Well, congratulations. It's only 10:02. Thanks. Thanks for getting out on time.
That's the best we can do. You know, the best they can do, Chastang, they do it every time. ChastangFord.com. I love what Chastang has done for me, and you're going to love what Chastang is going to do for you. If you're looking for the best way to get into that Ford. Listen, they got pre-owned vehicles there as well. We got the F-150 King Ranch from them, a pre-owned vehicle for JT. It was awesome. It is awesome. And we got the best price that we could possibly get, and he loves his vehicle now. It's pre-owned or new, it doesn't matter. Chastang Ford is going to go about, they're going to get the best deal that they can for you at the price that you need it to be, with no add-ons, no markups, new, used, it doesn't matter. They've got them on the lot, ready for you, giving you all the rebates they can, getting you the best financing that they can give you. There's nothing about this process that you won't love. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, go see my peeps. Tell them that you heard them right here. Heard it right here. They do. They love the 97.5 listener, and they're going to take care of you. And I want you to tweet me and tell me about your experience. And I'm going to tell you this. You're going to love it. And you're going to become part of the Chastang family like I have. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's just 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastang Ford.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.